Welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, and I'm joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Shannon.
Hello.
And James.
Hello.
Look, are not watching the video version of this podcast over on Press Start Australia's YouTube channel, you're missing out, because if you are watching it, you will see why I got thrown off in the intro. We have Shannon with a headpiece of his own.
You just didn't know who was here with you. But you had to really think about it.
Is it Donkey Kong himself? I don't know. And James just wearing the most amazing headpiece. Is it staying on for the whole show, do you reckon? Or are you going to sweat out of it?
It is pretty hot here, but we'll see how we go. I have backup. I have headbands to switch to if need
be. Every segment, you can swap out and give us a new costume change.
Yeah.
Look, of course, today we are going to be talking about the Nintendo Direct that happened just last night as of recording this. But first, I do want to quickly check on you both. Have either of you played the Alan Wake 2 DLC yet?
I've gone back to the main game to finish it off to get to it. But no, I haven't got to the DLC yet. It did prompt me in the game, which I liked, to jump in.
To jump into the DLC.
As in, I was reading about it. They've tied it into the game, so, at the specific moments where it makes sense, you can natively go into the DLC.
That's very
cool. Sorry, just a little tidbit.
Yeah, I didn't know they had done that. That's a nice way to do it. Sorry, James, I thought you were about to say something.
No.
James doesn't believe me.
Only Shannon would be, excited when the game advertises DLC to him.
No, it wasn't advertising. It was there was a TV. You could jump into the DLC moment.
But there's no point to... Oh, that doesn't
matter. I'll take that up with... No, okay. Sam McCready.
Who's Sam McCready?
I don't know. What's his name?
Sam Lake.
It's escaping me. Sam Lake. Yeah, anyway, talk about what you liked. James.
Yeah, James, I want to hear from you first. What did you like about it? Or did you not like it?
No, I didn't not like it. I really like Remedy, obviously, and this is a very Remedy-esque kind of DLC, but I don't like alternate plots or what-if scenarios, only because there's just still so much untapped potential with the Alan Wake world, I guess. Mm. And I know that a lot of that will be coming with Lake House, but I don't know, I did feel the one with Jesse especially, that felt very, kind of whatever. That was a really exciting kind of potential crossover moment. The third one is really good. And the first one, I get why people like it, but, I don't know. I didn't hate it, I just didn't love it.
How long are they?
The whole thing I finished in, 3.5-4 hours, I reckon. Probably less. I did take breaks to make hot drinks because it was the night time. I don't know why people need to know that, but now they do. I did like them, but I just think with Alan Wake 2, it was a horror game, and a lot of it was, a lot of that tension, the horror is kind of gone with this DLC. Mm. And when I first picked up my gun and I had 300 bullets, I was I see they're not going to be going for a horror vibe.
Okay, I'm glad that wasn't just me, because I thought must have turned the difficulty down to finish off the platinum or something. And I was I just have a stupid amount of bullets?
It definitely felt, and I guess maybe they were going for, say, American Nightmare, which was, there was a lot of arena-based shooting there and stuff.
Yeah.
But this just didn't feel a lot new. And there is an amazing, a very, very cool kind of hook at the end of the third one, which is going to be important, I think, going forward. But getting to that point, it did just feel like a lot of just, reshuffled things from the base game. Just, I'm not expecting DLC to be brand new. I know we're probably saying this on the eve of Erdtree coming out for Elden Ring, but, I don't know, it just felt a little bit cheap.
Yeah, I think, ultimately, these, they're just kind of, fun romp within the world of Alan Wake, as opposed to, being a meaningful contribution to the lore in any sort of way. I think the first one with the number one fan, the lady working in the diner, was a really nice introduction to it, because it's just, so ridiculous. Yeah, like, just to kind of, you know, I keep all my equipment in the back and you walk in and it's just like a fully stocked gun room and she goes out there and it's just very kind of tongue-in-cheek and satirical and imagining Scratch as like this kind of like macho biker dude with this
false and he was facade. Literally called, like, bad boy. Like, yeah, you know, it's definitely like funny. Like, the first one is meant to be funny and I think they nailed that. It's just, yeah. I think I really just have issues with the middle one, which I think just doesn't really do anything.
The Jesse one, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of very much just like, it's, I think it's the one that's most true to the Alan Wake experience, but yeah, it's just very much like paint by numbers kind of typical area, I guess, in solving some of the puzzles in there. And yeah, I was kind of like playing through it thinking maybe the ending of it was a bit more impactful, but then I realized it was all just like a what if scenario. So it didn't really kind of contribute to the lore and anything. I am curious about what you think was, like, so important about the end of the third one, which kind of centers on the Sheriff Quantum Break character.
We'll talk about it later, because
we should talk about it off the show. I don't want to spoil
like,
it for anyone.
It's, pretty clear, though, like, but we'll see, I guess. I just
can't remember how it ended, but
yeah
no, we'll talk about it after the show.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we've got plenty to talk about now from the Nintendo Direct, and we're pretty much just going to dedicate the whole show to it, because it was that chocked full of news pieces. Let's start, though, with what was perhaps the biggest reveal, and that was Metroid Prime 4 Beyond kind of getting its proper moment in the light, I suppose, its first proper sort of reveal, with a gameplay trailer, albeit a brief one, and a release window of 2025. James, I'm going to come back straight to you on this one, because I know you're a big Metroid fan, no doubt very excited to see this. What did you make of the trailer?
So, like, good, I think. I think it's, like, I'm not, like, I'm having a really good time not getting excited about things, because then, like, Xbox...
Keep your expectations here.
Absolutely. And, like, Xbox and Nintendo both really blew my expectations away, even though I didn't have many. But, yeah, it looks good. I think the thing that really excites me the most about this, I was saying to one of my friends this morning, is, like, I looked at that trailer, and while there was new stuff in there, I didn't know if it was, like, a remaster or a new game. And I say that in a positive way, because it feels just like the first three games.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I was kind of worried that I didn't think a Metroid Prime game today would play anything like the old ones for some reason. I just didn't feel that would be a thing. But, like, it has that... Even though that first bit in the rocks and stuff is quite action-y, I've got a feeling that's an intro that then we'll just, like, maybe see Samus stranded on another planet or something. Mm-hmm. Because that second bit where she walks out into the, like, the jungle and it looks up and it's got that old Metroid Prime music that's been rearranged, that's, like, peak, like, perfect vibe, like, atmosphere for Metroid Prime. So, I am very excited. I'm also excited that they're kind of sticking to their guns, and the bad guy in this Psylox, he was kind of teased to be the bad guy in the DS game that released way before Dread, way before anything else. You know what I mean? So, like,
was that
they're
the
not
demo?
Did the game ever come out? Yeah, Hunters was a full game. So
okay,
yeah. So in that game, you hunt down bounty hunters, and Psylox gets away, and he's kind of been implied to be this, like, kind of rival to Samus, I guess, in a way. So, I'm sure they'll catch up new people. Nintendo's pretty good at that. But, I'm excited to see it actually is moving that storyline forward too. I thought with the reboot and such a long time, they might have kind of dropped it, but it does feel like it's quite authentic to whatever they had planned originally.
Yeah, you've just reminded me. I actually played Metroid Prime Hunters on the DS back in the day. I don't think I finished it, because I don't remember that ending, but I would have played a good chunk of it.
Because you got a demo cartridge with the DS initially.
Yeah, first hunt, it was
and
called.
And that was all there was for ages, that and Mario 64 for like a year.
And I think it even had... Did it have online? I feel like that was one of the first online games, and it was just like a weird first-person shooter.
Yeah, or like a LAN sort of thing.
You had to have the little thumb strap. Like, you put it... You use that to aim on the bottom screen. Yeah, I don't know if you remember that or not.
Good times.
But yeah, I think it looks really good. I haven't seen anyone be negative about it yet, and normally you do around the internet.
I think the vibe is that everyone is just happy that it's here after like 8 years, right? Like, and like clearly it restarted like halfway through after years and years, which never happens with Nintendo. Like, they'd never have publicly admitted something like that before. And
besides Metroid totally Dread, I guess. It seems to be like a Metroid problem. Like,
So I don't know. For me, like, I'm not the biggest Metroid guy. Like, I feel like I probably played all of them. I appreciate it. It looks what I'd expect it to look like. It didn't like blow me away. I'm keen to see like how it obviously plays into the Switch 2, which I think we'll talk about. But I think in terms of just keeping people excited, like giving people a taste, playing into what Metroid Prime is, I think it did well and did what it needed to.
I think a lot of the excitement doesn't come from what it looks like for me. It was just the fact that it exists and it's like running.
I reckon it's worth discussing now. Like the way that it's presented in the trailer, does that look like a current Switch game to you, or like is it only like they get kind of smooth frame rates on the new?
It's
Switch?
So hard because in this direct, like there were games that looked good and games that looked awful, right? So like in the spectrum of like how games look on the Switch now, like Zelda looked great, and like that was like fully open world, and like Metroid Prime, like we're not expecting this to, we're expecting it to be open, but like it's still going to be levels, right? So I think it's plausible to me that it's not plausible that this wouldn't have been running on the original Switch. I don't think Nintendo would be giving anything about the Switch 2 at this point. So I don't think there's going to be like some moment where they're like, oh, this was actually running on the new Switch. I think it is running on the Switch in this.
I think this will be flagship game though.
I think it'll
come out around the same time. I think there'll be both SKUs, kind of like Breath of the Wild was for the Wii U.
100%.
And I think they'll kind of use that to lean into the fact that it's going to be backwards compatible, the new Switch. Like, it'd be awesome if like the one cartridge kind of plays on both, but whether or not that's the case, I don't know.
I think that's going to really limit it, because like the Switch when it came out was old technology, let alone now. Like, it's going to be really hard for them to say like,
I don't think it'll be
backwards compatible.
I don't think like it'll be forwards compatible in a way that like you chuck that chip in and it will play better on the Switch 2. Like, I think there will be a dedicated Switch port. Just like, do you remember like the DS Lite had a Game Boy port for like a few years until they released the DSi and stuff? Like, I think that the early adopters, I can see that maybe happening. But we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, Ewan, but like I do agree with Shannon. Like, I feel like they don't really want to hamstring themselves by this old tech.
But the cartridges are quite often just like the DRM key that then triggers a bigger download, right? Like, it's not like all of the game is installed.
Not on Nintendo for the most part. I think first party, especially, they try and avoid that.
Ewan, what are you talking about?
Party,
that's why physical,
like Skyrim, almost anything else that's AAA.
Even The Witcher. Yeah. Like, the only games that download are like the games that come out every year, like EAFC.
I mean, The Witcher definitely had a download attached to it, didn't it?
No, it didn't. It was all on the chip.
It was all on the cartridge.
Yeah, and that's because CD Projekt Red fished that money out. Like, it's a cost thing. And even now, like, you see in retail, NBA is now just being printed in stores, but it's codes in a box rather than, say, chips. And that's because, obviously, 2K doesn't want to shell that money out. And that's kind of what happened
to be clear, I'm not saying, like, a download code in the box. I'm saying that, like, you can't just plug in the cartridge with no internet connection and play it. Like, you plug it in, and then you have to install, like, an update on top of that, which is, like, a substantial chunk of the game.
There were rumors, there's been so many rumors about the Switch, but there were rumors that it was going to be a different cart, right? Like, that was mentioned at some point, I think. So, I don't know. I would think that it's just going to be the same cart, and I agree with you, Ewan. You can just play the old carts on the Switch easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we're probably getting into the weeds. We've got plenty more to talk about.
We'll have a lot of time to talk about this.
Regardless, I think this will 100% be a Switch 2 launch title. I think it's going to be... like, Nintendo have never shied away from the fact that, like, you can play this on the old console, but this is, like, our launch title, and, like, this is what it does better, like, with Breath of the Wild and Twilight Princess. So, like, I think it's going to be a great game, as Metroid has been in the past, to show off the capability of the new console. So that's exciting, I think.
Yeah, excited for this one. It's prompted me to go back and play Remastered, I think, as well.
Me too, as well.
Since I never finished that off.
It is genuinely such a good game. And Ewan, like, since you've been, like, fisting yourself to Prince of Persia, like, that game owe so much to, like, you know, Hollow Knight and Metroid. Like, I feel like you definitely owe it to your... Shannon, put it away.
Are these still wrapped?
Yeah, literally.
That was wrapped.
But definitely let you in. Like, the Metroid games, like, I don't get why you haven't played... Like, you've liked Principal so much, we haven't played those.
I have played Metroid games before.
Did you like Dread?
I played Dread. I liked Dread.
I didn't beat the final boss.
I didn't beat the final boss in Dread.
That's still
good. But I got there.
But you can also play Zero Mission now. Samus's first mission ever.
Which I was installing before I realized that my subscription has lapsed. So now I'm like, do I renew the subscription?
It's $30
Might just play Prime first.
Oh, is it? Is it $30 for the Game Boy Advance?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, for a year. Like, it's not much. You're right. Anyhow, we better crack on. We've got plenty more to discuss, including what was arguably the next big announcement, and that was Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom. I keep wanting to say Echoes of Time, but Echo of Wisdom. Zelda is the central protagonist in this one, rather than Link, of course, and it uses the same art style of the recent Link's Awakening, but it's reminiscent of Tears in the Kingdom in that you kind of summon duplicates of objects using Zelda's magical staff to kind of solve puzzles, that kind of thing. Presumably a bit more to it, but we kind of saw a glimpse of, like, traversing the landscape by spawning tables in the trailer. The game is due September 25th, so, like, only a couple of months away, rather crazily. Shannon, kind of come to you here first. Did you like the look of the Zelda game?
I did, yeah. I think it was... I don't think anyone's expecting a new Zelda game this year, let alone one that, like, completely throws everything out of the window. Mm. Yeah, I think art style... looks fantastic. I'm glad that they've kept with this from... I can't remember what the other one was called.
Link's Awakening, was it?
Yeah, that art style was gorgeous. I loved the reveal and sort of how it teased that and then just sort of, had that pull-away shot like Breath of the Wild. And yeah, I'm keen to see what they do with it. There's been a lot of annoying commentary on the internet today about, like, how she doesn't have a sword and how she doesn't attack and blah, 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 blah.
But that's the point.
I agree. I think it's... like, they could have just done that, right? Like, they could have given her some kind of attacking object and...
just, like, reskinning a character.
That's lazy as fuck.
100%. Yeah. But they could have done that and it still would have caused excitement, I think. But they've done something totally different.
But Zelda's thing is, like, her magic. Like, she... that is her strength. Like... yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway. I didn't know that was a thing.
In my comments, which always seem to be...
oh. The audience that you're courting.
No, I think so exciting. Just so out of the blue. I don't think anyone expected them to be doing this at this point in the Switch's life cycle. So love that.
Yeah.
Love that it's so soon.
Oh, to be Nintendo and sit back and listen to the likes of us going, oh, it's going to be a really, like, slow and quiet death for the Nintendo Switch, knowing that they had, like, all of this up their sleeve. Like, props to them. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, I really like the look of this game. I've actually kind of been feeling the hankering to play something kind of Phantom Hourglass-esque recently. That was a game I loved back on the DS. Granted, there's a fair few options to me on the Switch now, but having a new one kind of coming out in September, I'm really stoked to play this. I think it looks great. I love the kind of puzzle-solving opportunities that this kind of mechanic presents to itself. It's interesting that the producer was sort of saying, like, he doesn't even know how many kind of things they've added in there. I forget what he called the different objects that you can spawn. But yeah, that's kind of exciting. It sounds like there could be tons of kind of possibilities to solve different puzzles or navigate the landscape or defeat enemies. I don't quite know how it's all going to work. But yeah, it looks really cool. Do you agree, James? Are you excited for this one?
Yeah, I think this is a great idea. I think, like Shannon kind of said, I feel like we were kind of expecting a lot of remakes and ports to kind of fill the rest of the year. And to get something original, and that almost looks like it kind of, like, transposes those, like, Breath of the Wild / Tears of the Kingdom sensibilities into, like, classic 2D Zelda is really fucking cool. And then even just, like, Zelda is cool. I feel like she should have been playable in the last two, like, main lines. So to have her in this is really great. I think, yeah, it's cool. I love it.
It feels like Nintendo's in a really good place of, like, kind of giving the full breadth of their characters kind of, like, the spotlight at times and, like, kind of building out their IPs and stuff. And maybe that's just, you know, my feeling, and they've actually been at this for a while. But yeah, like Princess Peach getting her own game earlier in the year as well. Obviously, like, Donkey Kong's getting some love in this direct as well, which we'll get to in a moment. James obviously excited for that, but like it just seems like it feels like they see the value in the IPs. Maybe that's kind of off the back of the movie doing well, that kind of thing, but there seems to be like lots of investment in their strengths at the moment, which is really cool to see. Look, speaking of new games, there was also a new I'm actually going to read what I wrote because I was proud of what I wrote. It's been 9 years since they last teamed up together, but everyone's favorite Italian brother plumber duo is back in Mario and Luigi Brothership, coming November 7th. Shannon, what did you make of the looks of Mario and Luigi Brothership?
I was surprised, like it's been 10 years since the last one, but we've just had Paper Mario, Super Mario RPG. It's a lot of Mario RPGs, in my opinion, but Mario & Luigi was always one of my favorites because I feel like it blended RPG elements and like cool platforming stuff really well, like differently to Paper Mario that feels quite different to Mario games. I watched it again just before we restarted this because I didn't want to misspeak. It looks interesting visually. To me, there's something off, and James and I were watching it together and spoke about this. Like, Mario looks weird to me. Like, he looks tall and elongated, and I just, the art style, something is a bit off to me. I don't really know what it is.
It's kind of, like, cel-shaded.
It is kind of cel-shaded, right? But, like, yeah, not that far. It's, like, a weird in-between DS-looking game. But that doesn't worry me as much.
I've changed my mind since we last spoke, which like Shannon's gonna roll
you. You literally set Shannon up for failure. Yeah, you told me to start this conversation, and you'd back me up.
I didn't tell you to start this conversation. That's like a full fabrication.
I agree. Like when we both are watching it, I was like, oh, that looks weird, and I don't. I think it looks good now. Just Mario in particular, like some of his facial animations and his proportions, just don't look like Mario.
Like going back to look at the sprites, which has been what I've seen a lot of comparisons on Twitter, like they've definitely, it kind of looks like what the concept art for all those old games looks like. Like when Mario does a jump, they all look like kind of bendy and like floppy. Like that's the vibe. I think they've done like a really good job in that way. I don't know. Like, I think,
I trust them, right? Like, it's not absolutely. That it's shit or, like, it's their vision.
No, like, but to be honest, when we were watching, I was like, this looks fucking shit. Like, what? It looks so... like, that's honestly how I felt.
You did probably and say that,
I definitely did. Like, I'm not even debating that. But, yeah, just, like, kind of letting it marinate a bit and looking at it and seeing how, like, expressive it is. Like, I feel like it is, like, it's quite unique and it's very visually distinct from, you know, Mario RPG and Paper Mario, which obviously
I do appreciate that. Like, they could make a different Mario game every 6 months that just looked exactly the same, right? But I like that they kind of play around with the different visual styles and give each one like a unique sort of flair.
It gives me like Hi-Fi Rush kind of vibes. I don't like looking at it again for a third time now.
Yeah, it's less comic booky, but I get what you mean.
Look, I think at this point, again, like, I don't think anyone expected there to be so many new games. Like, if you told me a new Mario and Luigi game was coming, I would have said it's going to be a port of the 15 that they could have pulled from anywhere else. So, like, even looking at Peach, she just doesn't look how I'd expect it anyway.
Oh, my God. I think it's great. I think it's cool you can, like, even see his eyebrows through his hat. Like, that's, like, such a weird thing.
They're just floating there. Really.
Yeah, so like,
we've, like, placed a lot of emphasis on the visuals of the game, but, like, is anyone particularly excited about the mechanics of it and the gameplay that's presented? No, me neither. Yeah. Okay, I'm glad you said it, because I'm
I think it'll be good.
I have so little interest in playing this game. Oh, really? Okay, you were sarcastic. I'm being legit.
Who said that? Wait, who said they had no interest?
Me. Yeah. This does not look like my kind of Mario game, to be honest.
I'm RPG'd out, I think. Like,
I feel that a little bit. Ewan can't say that, though. He hasn't played
the game. I haven't touched RPG. Like, it's not my... I just have no interest in it.
I just think the timing of it is weird, like, considering Super Mario RPG was, what, 20 years old? Paper Mario was, what, 10 to 15 years? Like, why... You'd spread them out a bit, in my opinion, knowing you've got a new game coming this year. But Mario and Luigi stronger than ever, as evident. As on our heads, so
can you explain it to me? Like, there's like kind of platforming sections, but then you end up in like a enemy encounter, and then it becomes turn-based. Is that how it works?
Yeah, turn-based with like, but why can't I speak today? You Like, all of these, all the Nintendo RPGs, like, are just not text boxes. Like, you have timing-based things or abilities, and right. I think Mario and Luigi has always been about, like, having brother abilities that you unlock throughout the game.
Like, Mario and Luigi is, it's just you, like, Mario and Luigi, and they have, like, bros moves and stuff, and that's, you know... Why is he laughing? I missed whatever.
Because, like, it's called Mario and Luigi. It was just funny that you thought you had to emphasize that. But
well, because Ewan doesn't despite that being the title. So I felt like I had to clarify.
Yeah. No, okay? They are different. Like, and I think it suits you. I think what I've always liked about Mario and Luigi, I feel like Paper Mario is, like, it's paper. Like, there's always that gimmick to it. Like, where these feel... like, part platform. We're just really stating facts. I'm keen for it. I would like to see more platforming than RPG elements. Like, I do wonder why they can't just have a game like this that is just a platformer. I feel like they used to do that a lot more with Wario and Peach and... Well, Peach just had a game. But, like, yeah, why does it need the RPG elements? Why can't it just be, like, a 10-hour platformer that has all this weird shit? But I guess they want to protect
the mainline. They've got other Mario games that do that, so I guess...
Yeah, I get it. Like I said,
being different.
This year, I think I love all the new shit they're giving us.
Well, speaking of more new shit, Shannon, we also had a new Mario Party revealed, Super Mario Party Jamboree. Great name. It includes heaps of modes, online 20-player modes, and some returning boards from older games as well. It's out October 17th, so if you're keeping track, that's a new game out September, a new game out October, and a new game out November. There's also one coming in January, too, which we'll get into a moment. But sticking with Super Mario Party Jamboree first, James, what about this presentation did you vibe with?
Like, besides Mario Party?
No. It's specifically about Mario Party. Did you, like, look at the game? Sorry. Did you vibe with it?
Mario Party, like, I really liked Superstars, which was obviously bringing back all the old boards and stuff. I would have loved for this to be a continuation of that or some kind of expansion of that, but I also recognize why they don't do that, because people will just buy a new game. I didn't love Super Mario Party, and I wonder if, like, this being called that is... Because it could have just been Mario Party Jamboree, but, like, I'm wondering if it's going back to that kind of slower-paced, motion-control-based style of Super Mario Party, which, like, doesn't really excite me that much. That being said, this does look packed. Like, a lot of stuff in there. Like, it's not just boards anymore. Like, there's different modes, different options. It feels like a genuine party now rather than, say... just some board games. Do you know what, does that make sense?
I get you.
Like, I know, like, people, like, I know Shannon has been clamoring for, like, a Nintendo Land revival for so long, but I don't think that's happening anytime soon. But, like, I feel like they could maybe really leverage Mario Party to become that with something like this.
I'm in two minds. Like, I'm really keen for it, but I also think, like, Super Mario Party was... great as a reboot, but it was very, very light on content, and it sold, I reckon, like 15-20 million copies from memory and never got any DLC. So I think this is one of those instances where they probably had ideas for DLC and spun it off into a different game. As James said, like, it's apparently got more mini games than ever before. I think there's 7 levels now instead of the 4 or 5 the other one had.
Even like 20 player online, like,
yeah, the online. Yeah, it's I'm excited for it. I think these games are always going to sell. Like, they're fun. Like, you kind of... For me, I don't mind them being separate, because, like, you get used to all the mini games. You're done with them. You move on to the next. Like, you don't really want to just add 20 more and then into the mix that you've already played. Like, you want to just move on. It
eventually becomes, just too much. Yeah. A bit unruly.
You want to move into a different iteration, then you start again. And, I don't know. It's another weird one where, like, we've got all the Mario Party games on Nintendo Switch Online. The last one from memory was, like, a best of mini games, wasn't it? From all the games.
On 3DS, like the top 100 one.
Yeah. So, look, Nintendo got a Nintendo, but these are always fun and they're always going to sell well. And it doesn't look half-assed. I think, again, they could have really half-assed it, but I don't think they have with this. I'm keen.
Again, I think, like, it's a great kind of addition to the Switch at this point in its lifetime. Like, this all too easily could have been something that was kind of held off for the next the next console, but for it to kind of come out now, like, I think it makes a lot of sense. And it was 20 million the last one sold, so there's clearly huge demand for these kind of things.
I think, to James's point and Nintendo Land, I think what I'm saying with that is, like, that was just something we'd never seen before, and it was good. And, like, I really want to see Nintendo do more, like, with all of these franchises and just try and do things differently. Like, I'll play these, and, like, it's going to be good, and all of their stuff is good, but I just think they could be innovating and doing more. So when I say, like, why not just have a minigame collection that's all the Nintendo franchises, like, and do stuff with that? Like, that would be super cool, I think, to see them start doing more of that next gen. Yeah. And I kind of think they might have to be honest.
Was it Nintendo Land that had the, like, the game where there was an invisible Mario that was, like, controlled on the Wii U console? Yeah, on the controller. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So it was, that like, was you good. Were in a theme park and it had, like, 10 different Nintendo attractions. And it was, like, gimmicky, but I don't know. It just, it was cool and it felt...
was good. The one where you have to catch the toad, you're playing as Yoshi's or something.
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah.
Luigi's Mansion.
Really liked it. So yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one. Like, it's going to be good, and you can't really fault Nintendo, but I do think there's enough creativity there to try some new stuff as well.
I guess what's exciting about this and, like, all the announcements we got is, like, surely there's a ton more on the way. Like, if they are indeed kind of having a new console coming out next year, like, presumably there's going to be a fair few launch titles around that and stuff in the kind of 12 months thereafter.
I think that's what shocked me. Like, I was hoping they had announcements because I knew they couldn't really just rest on what they had for the rest of the year with, like, how fickle games is. But I feel like they must have a really solid plan for the next few years, and that's exciting.
I feel like if we even only got one of these games, like, that would have been pretty good going. But... yeah, like, three before the end of the year is out. It's pretty nuts. In January, though, we are getting a Donkey Kong Country Returns, getting a HD remake, including all the 3DS content as well. It's out January 25th. And Shannon, is this, in fact, one of your predictions coming true?
I think it was, yes. Or was it James? It was. I think that it was. James predicted a new Donkey Kong game. I couldn't remember which of you had made the prediction. And I predicted a new Mario, so we'll just have to call it even on this one, I feel.
Did you predict a new Mario?
I said Odyssey 2, I think.
Oh, yeah.
This is, I don't know, this is another one where it's like, you could have just put Wii on Nintendo Switch Online and then we'd have this game, but, like, then I also want to play it in nice HD, and, like, I would play it again because I haven't played it since the Wii came out, so I don't know. It's just, they're always going to win.
So my feeling about this is I'm actually, like you, and I'm not actually excited for it at all. Like, I've played these games so many times. Yeah. Like, I'm kind of ready for a new Donkey Kong experience, I say, with this giant hat on my head.
I'm shocked.
And my tie. So
lots of people haven't, and that's where it gets tricky.
No, but this is... okay, no, this is my issue, right? So, like, I feel like with... no, don't laugh at me. With your Tropical Donkey Freeze... Kong, it's
hard. I'm trying to take it seriously,
Tropical
but...
Freeze, right? They... that was a Wii U game. And I think the Wii U, like, the problem with the Wii U was no one played any of those
that
games.
That came
and
to all... Switch, didn't it? With Funky Kong's mode.
Yes, it did. So, like... and I kind of get that because the Wii U games were all very good. They just didn't have an audience. So naturally, it makes sense to port those. Mm. Literally everyone owned a fucking Wii. Like, and know
this
that
was
Donkey
like
Kong...
Donkey Kong's Return in like this.
Absolutely.
Aspect.
Like, yeah. And it was, it's also inferior to like Tropical Freeze, in my opinion. And I don't think many people would disagree. But yeah, I don't know. It just feels a little bit unnecessary at this point.
I would have loved to have seen a collection with, like, the first three and, like, Tropical Freeze and this, like, that. But I know they're never going to do that because then it's, like, everything at once.
They're not really
right?
a collection. Like, as Luigi's Mansion next week, kind of. Yeah. I don't think they're a collection company.
No.
But, yeah, I don't know, Ewan. Like, I think it's great that this game is... because it is a good game. Like, I'm not going to... it's a very good game. Amazing level design. Amazing soundtrack. Like, a very solid platformer. But I just don't know if... I don't know. Depends on what else is out in January for me, but, like, I don't know if I'm really super keen to revisit this, especially given I've played these games so much already.
It also just came like to a 3DS. Means of, like...
like, it was Wii and then 3DS.
Yeah.
And I had to play both for review. I don't know who I was reviewing them for, but...
And you'll have to do it again come January.
Yeah. I've already played that game twice. So, like, I don't know. I don't know if the HD jump is enough to entice me again.
Yeah, I sort of feel like it could be a reasonably, low resource intensive kind of way to kind of dip their toes back in and maybe kind of like retest kind of Donkey Kong sort of in today's ecosystem and kind of see what they're actually...
You say retest. They've just built a multi-million dollar expansion for their park centered around him. Like, I'm sure they're confident.
Fair point.
And at the end of the day, it's hard to fault them because it's going to sell millions of copies. Like,
I just think he deserves better.
He does deserve better, but that so do all of these franchises.
No, not Fire Emblem.
Not all. No, that deserves nothing.
Sorry to anyone listening who likes Fire Emblem, but it is trash. I'm not. But like, I love everything else that Nintendo does.
Yeah, I don't know. From where they were in the Wii U era, and like they were never going to go bankrupt, but like it was nearly over for them. So like, I'm glad that they at least have their business shit together.
I'm excited for this one. Like, as you know, someone with no real history with Donkey Kong, like I think this seems like an exciting thing to kind of jump into. Granted, maybe I'd kind of missed some prior opportunities to do that, and James is going to roast me for it. But yeah, like January seems like a reasonably quiet time for this game to come out. I think at this stage, I can't remember what else might be slated for January. But yeah, I'll give it a go and see if it reignites a passion for Donkey Kong, James.
To come back to the Switch 2 era, like just for one second, it is going to be interesting with these, because then it's like, are they already thinking 4K with a game coming out in January? If the Switch 2 is March or April, like, will it be up-res to like 4K? Like, will we? I hope it will.
I feel like that's going to be really sporadic and like case by case. I don't think there'll be like any sort of blanket, like every kind of game that you bring over from your Switch library is now going to run at this resolution or whatever.
We keep veering into this conversation about the new Switch, but I do feel like the Tears of the Kingdom code had references to higher resolutions in it. So I do think the games are ready to maybe go.
Yeah, well, I just don't think we should assume every game is going to have that. Like, maybe the majority of kind of first-party releases do, but yeah. And stuff being released at the moment, I suppose, but like, how far is that going to stretch back to? Like, Tears of the Kingdom, yes, Breath of the Wild, maybe not.
Sure.
I don't know. That's just kind of...
We'll talk about it when it gets announced.
We'll have to wait and see. And hopefully, it's not too far away. Okay, before we move on, was there anything else from the Direct that anyone wanted to shout out? We've obviously touched on, I think, like the bigger announcements, but there was a ton of other things.
James would like to talk about Capcom, I'm sure.
No, I don't, actually.
No? Nothing else you want to shout out?
I think it's cool that Capcom is still bringing back stuff, you know, from the catalog that's not available anywhere else, like this Ace Attorney collection. It's the last of the two Ace Attorney games that haven't been remastered, so now they're all available on modern platforms, which I think is really cool, and I think really important, especially this one of the games in that collection was never available outside of Japan, so it's really cool to actually see it finally come out.
Yeah.
Do you think this means we might be getting a new one?
Yeah, probably.
Marvel vs. Capcom.
Oh, sorry, I was talking about Ace Attorney, but we could talk about Marvel. Yeah, so I think also a new Ace Attorney is coming. Marvel vs. Capcom, I think, I recommend everybody who can to go buy it physically, because these games never seem to last online digitally because of the licensing involved. Like, there's just so much going on there. Because this game was last available in, I think, 2013, maybe, online, and before that, it was only available on PS2 and Xbox, like, physically. Or Dreamcast. So yeah, like, I think it's really cool. I really do hope we are getting a new one. I think anyone who is a fighting game fan loves Marvel vs. Capcom. It's if you follow any fighting game influencers, you'll see like the hype and the like craziness around this announcement has really got people excited. So yeah, like, I think it's really cool and really great, and I hope that it leads to something new.
I also thought you'd be excited about Perfect Dark being added to Nintendo Switch.
No, so I don't understand. So, like, the Turok and Perfect Dark announcement, really cool, I guess. But those games, like, Turok's been Night Dive remastered, so it's, like, the best kind of remaster you can get already for every other platform. And then, actually, I think the Turok remasters are also on Switch, so that's also a weird choice. And then Perfect Dark is on, has been remastered for on 360 and Xbox. So, like, there is better ways to play those games for me.
It's so hard to get excited about any of that anymore, I think, with just how slow it is. Like, it's
Do you remember, like, it with the Wii, Shannon, and maybe Ewan? I don't know if you're born yet. But, like, they they had games every week. Like, isn't that... And we were complaining then that it was so slow.
And then, like, it ended, and then we had to start again with the Wii U, literally from scratch. Yeah, it is frustrating. Like, the opportunity that is there, like, is humongous, and I just feel like it's the bare minimum.
Like, yeah. I think overall, though, like, it was a very good show. I think it really highlights, kind of, in this period of time, how kind of solid Nintendo's, like, business model or pipeline is. You know, we know that if they finish games, then just sit on them for months just so they have this kind of solid schedule. And they seem to be well within budget. Like, they're not, you know, you're not waiting 6 years for games, like, say, you know, like Sony or Microsoft 10 years. But, like, you know, I think it's, a really, really good showing. And to have such a strong lineup comparatively for, like, a console that is on its last legs, I think is really impressive.
I think as I think it's the remakes and the remasters, like, as much as we shit on them, like, they really help them set their year up and, like, plan it and give themselves, like, at least a game a month.
I think that also speaks to the strength of these games too, is that you can kind of just ship them out 10 years later without much change, but they still are, like, quite playable. There are some, like, hits and misses, absolutely. Like, I think, you know, like, my preview for Luigi's Mansion, I don't think that game is, like, their strongest. But overall, like, say, Paper Mario, like, that has been one of the highest reviewing games of the year. And for, like, good reason. Like, there's really nothing like it.
I do think they've got a really kind of solid business model. They must be laughing when they see the budgets that PlayStation and Xbox kind of spend on a game, only for it to then kind of fall flat and... put a ton of pressure on the studio. The remakes is a good point, Shannon. Like, and I think we've maybe seen PlayStation kind of wise up to that. And also kind of wise up to, like, what Nintendo have done with their IPs as well, and look to kind of spread out some of that and find other revenue sources. Like, I think Nintendo really has switched on in that regard.
I think the richness of Nintendo's IP as well is, like, really helpful. Like, even though, say, they've got Mario, they've got sub-series within that. Like, and they are all different experiences. And you can kind of sit on, say, like, Luigi's Mansion and come back to that in 8 to 10 years after, and it's still fine. Do you know what I mean? They can kind of just pull from these different brands.
No, I agree. I think I want more, because, like, Splatoon and, like, ARMS, like, they've made some great new IPs that, like, haven't become 20 game franchises, but, like, I think there's creativity there to do some new stuff.
Oh, sorry. Are you saying, like, you want more IPs kind of like that? You're not saying you want another ARMS game.
I liked ARMS. I think it was it was fine for what it was. I just want them to do newer stuff like that. I think they've got the best minds in the gaming industry. So, why
would,
not?
It would be kind of cool if we saw, like, a new IP from Nintendo kind of a couple of years or so, and it was kind of from a team with history making, you know, Mario
any of
games
their
whatever,
games
but,
could have any character in it and they'd be good, right? Like, mechanically they're sound.
I agree with that. Cool. All right, well, that's plenty Nintendo chat. I do have a rapid fire question for you before we move on to what the wiki. And James, this kind of comes courtesy of you. An Uncharted movie sequel is officially in the works. That was confirmed this past week. And you pointed out on Twitter, James, that actually the first Uncharted movie grossed more than the latest Indiana Jones, which was, like, what, the Dial of Destiny or something? Was that what it was called? Which I guess prompts the rapid fire question. Is Uncharted now in a healthier place as an IP than Indiana Jones? Shannon, what do you reckon?
Yes, definitely. I feel
scandalous, but
yeah.
Yes.
I don't feel like Indiana Jones is a popular franchise with younger people.
I agree.
At all.
James?
I think the difference with Indiana Jones is, like, why are we laughing?
Rapid fire.
Well, I've tweeted it. Think of like how many Uncharted games have come out in the time that it's taken two Indiana Jones movies to come out, right? Like, it's just too dormant an IP.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to give Uncharted that credit just yet. Like, we'll see how much it lasts the test of time, like, in the future. Like, I feel like a lot of people still consider the first three movies of Indiana Jones like classics. So I'm going to say it's a maybe at the moment. Yeah. Not a no, which I think is a, you know...
If these IPs were going to go under the hammer, like, I think Indiana Jones is still fetching the higher price. But yes,
we'll see at the end of the year in the gaming space, at least.
Yes, very true. All right. Now is time for What the Wiki, the Press Up podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with the round ending after someone's bagged themselves 2 points. Last week, that was Brody, who ought to be in the hosting chair today, but we scheduled this at a time he couldn't be, so James has graciously offered to take his place and host. And I imagine he's comfortable doing so, because he is such a healthy lead at the moment. He's on 20 points in first place. Brody is in second with 16. I'm in third on 15. Shannon, you are in fourth with 13. Kieran on 10. Harry on 5. But James, as today's very generous host, you may take it away.
Okay, let's go. I'm doing this live, so hopefully it works out all right.
Oh.
The game features a new art style in contrast to the previous games in the series. The gameplay is presented as a retro modern art style with toy-like character designs, diorama-like world designs, and tilt-shift...
Yes, Mario Shannon. Versus Donkey Kong.
No, Shannon.
Sorry. DK.
Tilt-shift visuals that evoke the original game's presentation on the Game Boy. The opening and credit cutscenes were presented akin to an anime. It also features customizable dungeons which the players can create and then complete for rewards. The game is an action-adventure game with a top-down perspective. Its story is set on an island where the player character is stranded after his ship is caught up in a storm. After being rescued by a girl named Marin, the main character embarks on a quest to collect the 8 instruments of the Sirens to awaken the legendary Windfish. Similar to previous games in the series, the player traverses an open world.
Shannon. No.
Shannon, go.
The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker.
No, sorry.
Okay.
The player traverses an open world with dungeons
so
scattered
disappointed
throughout.
I can feel. Did you just mute yourself?
Technical issues. Very big technical difficulties. In contrast to other top-down games in the series, this game allows the player to jump over obstacles onto platforms and also features side-scrolling platforming sections. I can't believe you guys don't have this. I've got to look it up.
I don't...
I feel like I could have a guess at the series, but do I know which one it is?
Okay,
it's Zelda, right?
Is it?
Okay. The game was announced via a trailer showcased during a Nintendo Direct presentation in February 2019 and was showcased with a demo that June. The game is published by Nintendo and released on September 2019.
Shannon.
Yes,
The
Shannon.
Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening.
It is. Congratulations, Shannon.
Yeah, put that together at the end. Well done, Shannon.
Thank you.
Put us out of our misery.
I was going to go with like Phantom Hourglass, Spirit Tracks. Like, it wasn't going to be my next guess.
Spirit Tracks. I forgot Spirit Tracks.
Okay.
So many I've not played.
New to this game is the mic minigames. Players must say words into the provided microphone to perform different actions. The majority of these games can be obtained by stopping on the space at the end of solo mode. This is the worst written entry, by the way. In this game, up to four players can take turns moving on board games. Yes, Shannon.
Mario Party 5.
No, Shannon, you sorry.
Mario Party 7.
No, Ewan, Shannon. Sorry.
It's going to be something that's like DS era, right?
Mario Party 4.
No, Shannon.
Ewan. Is it Mario Party DS?
No, Ewan.
Shannon.
Oh my god, yes, Shannon.
Mario Party 6.
It is Mario Party 6. Oh my god.
I should have just split the pack.
I thought Ewan had me then. I knew it was a GameCube one.
Fuck me, that was a queen sweep for Shannon too. So he's leapfrogged me and now up with Brody in second place. God damn it. What are these Nintendo games, honestly? Why do we never play the multiplayer games that I spend most of my hours playing, huh?
Hey, this is the one time I feel like I'm allowed to pick just Nintendo games for this episode.
And fair enough.
I tried to pick stuff. Yeah, I don't know.
Donkey Kong's favorites.
With that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start Podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site, of course, at press.com.au. There you'll find a full roundup of all of the announcements at the Direct this week, with video trailers and all of James's kind of thoughts packaged up into often quite humorous paragraphs. We've been joined today by Shannon.
Yeah, you can follow me at Shannon Grixty.
And special guest gracing us with his presence, it was Donkey Kong.
Yeah, you can find me on X at Jams, @JamZ.
And I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. Thanks again for tuning in, and until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.
I thought I heard someone playing the theme song.